Instructional Designers in Offices Drinking Coffee is brought to you by Domino, makers of Domino One, the cloud-based authoring tool for e-learning. Learn how your team can work together better at domino.com. That's DOMINKNOW.com. Now, here's this week's episode.
The cymbal crash, but we should add like an explosion or something, and fireworks on the screen, and something really epic.
Oh my goodness, so much dancing!
Yeah,
man, holy cow!
I think I heard a crack in lower back this morning. That's not a good sign.
Is that because your mother stepped on a crack?
Yes. Yeah. She skipped over it. That's why I only very slightly felt it. That's all that was.
Yeah. Yep. It's a hazard. It's a hazard for all of us.
It is. Hey, welcome to Idiotic, everybody. It's Wednesday morning.
Yep. Thanks shout out to everybody. Yeah. Shout out to everybody sharing the weather forecasts, the local weather in your region. It's bloody cold, I believe, is the phrase here in Ottawa. Anyway, it's winter. What would we expect otherwise? But anyway,
yeah. 80 feet of snow and
yeah, you know,
everything else.
Finally,
that you get.
Yep. Very good. It's the thing. You know, if we didn't have the weather to complain about, what else would we do? So,
I have no idea. But hey, we've got a great guest with us
today.
I'm super psyched to have him with us. Who do we have with us, Chris?
Folks, we have Lee LaFever with us. Lee, it's your first time with us. So take a minute, introduce yourself to our folks in case they don't, they've never met you before, either virtually or in real life or any of those other places.
Certainly. Thanks so much for the introduction, guys. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me. My name is Lee LaFever, and I am known for Common Craft videos. And so I will talk a little bit about what that means. So Common Craft is a two-person company. It's my wife, Sachi, and I. And in 2003 or so, I started getting really excited about what is now social media. And a few years later, YouTube came along and we had the idea of making videos that explained social media so people could understand things like RSS and wikis and blogs and social networking and all those kinds of subjects. And to do that, we used a format with a whiteboard and paper cutouts that we used stop motion to animate about a 3-minute video. And those videos, I should back up and say also that this was just a side project for us. We're not educators. We're not professionally trained. It was just something that we did because we thought it needed to be done and that we thought some people might like it. And those videos are now known as the original explainer videos of the YouTube era. And that kicked off a whole life-changing sequence of events for us. We suddenly became video producers, like despite having zero experience in the industry or the practice, we became known as video producers, and Common Craft became known as a video creation company. And we've basically been doing that since then. We've taken it in a lot of different directions. We still produce videos that are a part of our video library, which is a part of our business as people become members of Common Craft to use our videos. But along the way, people often asked, you know, how can I make videos like yours? And that became a big part of what we do as well. I wrote a book called The Art of Explanation that came out in 2012, which took the lessons we learned from making explainer videos and applied it to any situation. We created the Explainer Academy, which is like courses for making videos like ours using simple and affordable tools. And I think that overall these days we're really focused on helping people see opportunities to use media maybe in a way that they didn't expect, or to use common tools like PowerPoint to make media. And so that's part of what we'll talk about today. But also a little bit of biography. I live a place called Orcas Island off the coast of Washington State. And as I mentioned in the chat, it's currently dark here. It's great to be with you guys this morning. Thank you.
Yeah. That's the curse of the modern world is that It's darkness somewhere.
But for
those of those who choose to drink something other than coffee, it's also 5 o'clock somewhere. So, you know, pros and cons, I guess.
That's right. That's right.
This global world that we live in. Yeah. You talked about the fact that you folks weren't really, this wasn't an area of expertise. You just kind of, jumped in. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how you did that jump in. Like, what did you do first to figure out how to even do this kind of a thing, since it wasn't your area of expertise?
Yeah. We had, prior to making the videos in 2007, we did some travel and got a video camera and started making just simple videos as we traveled and putting them on YouTube. This was the very early version of YouTube. And so I loved making the videos. I was using something like Windows Movie Maker to edit the videos. And I was like, wow, video editing is actually easier than I thought it was, even then. And so when we came home, this was 2006, like late 2006, early 2007. And social media was really just about to blow up. YouTube was getting more and more popular. And I started to have a plan where I was going to explain RSS, really simple syndication, which helps part of the plumbing of the internet that moves mm-hmm. content around now. And I started, I put a whiteboard on the wall and got markers and set a camera on a tripod and tried to write on the whiteboard and look at the camera at the same time. And that was really hard. I'd never done anything like that before and quickly discovered that I needed a lot more practice if I was going to make that work. I had never been a lecturer. And I got frustrated, and my wife Sachi, who is always the problem solver, had this idea. She's like, why don't we just take you out of the picture? Let's not worry about you. Let's put the whiteboard on the ground and point the camera down onto the ground, and then just fill the frame with the whiteboard, and then we can put things in the frame. We can move pieces of paper around, markers. And that was like, wow, what an idea. That's like, how to do that. That's a lot easier. And so we started experimenting, and within a few weeks, we created our first video. Looking back, it makes me cringe a little bit because it was such an early version of what we do. But we discovered early on that what really mattered was the explanation itself, like the right, mm-hmm. like the ideas that we're communicating and not so much the visuals. And so things just went from there, really.
Very, very cool. It's actually kind of awesome that the impracticality of what you thought was the way to do it, and it ends up leading to the innovation and the change, the shift, etc. That's very cool.
I give Sachi credit for the idea.
You do have a book teaching folks how to do what you guys did, right?
I'm sure I've got one right here.
I've got one on the wall.
Excuse me. I happen to have one right here. So the Art of Explanation is the book. It really is built on the lessons we learned about explanation, but it's not really at all about making videos. It's really about the skill of explanation applied mm-hmm. to ideas, products, services, anything you want. It's been translated into 8 languages or so, and I'm really proud of it. It continues, over 10 years later, to be useful to people, and I'm honored by that.
Yeah, so but today we wanted to talk about readable videos, and I was excited to bring you back on just because I always love chatting with you, Lee. So it's always fun to have you on my podcasts and whatnot. But I saw that and I thought, oh, great, a cool new topic, something that he's thinking about, talking about going after, that I thought might be good for our folks. And so a couple of folks from our industry also commented on it. I think that's why it landed up at the top of one of my feeds. And so I thought,
awesome.
Well, heck, we better have Lee on to talk about this a little bit and get a little clarity around it. So
for sure. For
so
sure.
What's up with that?
That reminds me of Saturday Night Live. a similar kind of evolution where it wasn't that we had this big brainstorming session and one huge, huge idea. It really kind of evolved where I mentioned before that we used a whiteboard and paper cutouts and stop motion animation to make Common Craft videos. And while it sort of imbues the videos with a certain charm and like that is what people know of Common Craft, they're really hard to make. Like they take a long time. And after doing it for, since 2007, I started thinking, Well, if it's really the explanation that matters, the writing, then maybe I can experiment with other formats. And the thing about stop motion animation and the former version of Common Craft videos is the animations are very simple. It's just something moving into the scene, something moving out, something happening, something whatever. And I thought I can do that with PowerPoint. Like PowerPoint animations work just fine for that, for the simple versions that we do with a white background. And so I started thinking like, well, let me try to recreate a Common Craft video that was formerly stop motion and do it in PowerPoint. And I was like, wow, this actually works really well and is super efficient. And so even today, the Common Craft videos that we publish today are made in that way. They have a voiceover and all that comes with a normal video. But this idea of taking a video, making a video inside PowerPoint really thought made me think like, okay, this is the sort of democratization that I really would love to see, is when people can use a tool they already have and already know to create media. And so that was the kind of start of the idea. But I've always felt that one of the biggest barriers in making videos is the voiceover. And that's especially true if you have animation that is disconnected from the audio, because then you have to edit the voiceover to match what's happening in the frames or in the scenes. And that's a skill that you have to develop over time. It doesn't happen overnight. And it can be discouraging. There's lots of equipment like microphones and editors and all these things. And I thought like, what if people can make videos and just not have a voiceover? Like that was just the thing. And instead have things like talk bubbles or symbols and almost like subtitle kind of things on the screen that relate the idea in a way that is consumable. And so I started working on that idea. And I'll say one more thing about video with voiceovers is that they require some kind of audio to participate. Like, you know, you need speakers or headphones or earbuds to hear what's going on. Right. And I thought, wow, well, a readable video doesn't need any of that either. You could watch a video in a crowded room or whatever you wanted to do. And so all these things kind of started to get into my head, and I started experimenting and also thought about accessibility, which I'm sure some people are thinking about in this regard. So I do want to say something quick there that, you know, obviously subtitles work for people with hearing impairments. Subtitles are really important. So the videos I do think work for the hearing impaired quite well. The visually impaired, it's sort of an inherent part of readable videos that they're not accessible inherently. For the visually impaired. So I always, when people ask about that, I say, there's no rules about readable videos. If your audience, if you would like to add a voiceover, please do. I want you to take this idea in any direction that you want. And please do know that that matters. So I don't want this to sound like that I'm not aware that is something that's important to keep in mind. However, I think that it's just readable videos. That's just an inherent part of it in this style. Maybe we can just I'll give you guys a chance to ask questions from here.
Yeah. Well, so Cornell has a really awesome comment about this in the chat. Sounds very good to those of us who have a voice for silent film. because, truthfully, I mean, like in our own e-learning space, so much of you know, an awful lot of the content that gets created as e-learning courses, etc., does have narration, etc., and it does a lot of challenges. People often end up having to contract that out because nobody's got the equipment, nobody really thinks they've actually got. Very few people think they've actually got a voice that someone else wants to listen to. You know, even if you're trying to do a DIY version of it, And as you say as well, switching out of the mode of then having to be able to deal with video and synchronization, et cetera, which is not a skill set that everybody, you know, has, but using a tool as simple or as ubiquitous, I guess, as PowerPoint is awesome and often an awesome sort of way to start thinking about that. A few years ago, David Byrne from Talking Heads was doing I'm going to call it a lecture series, but it was all based in working with PowerPoint. And I haven't yet found the link for that, but this is one of the things that prompted me. And also around the same time, I remember seeing people who were doing anime in PowerPoint and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just tremendously powerful. But most of us think of it as bullet points and stock art, you know.
Yeah, I think that's that is certainly. I think I thought that too until I started messing around with it, and then now I'm like an evangelist. who's an evangelist for PowerPoint? I mean, I guess there's some people out there, but I do think it's powerful. And I should say too, Keynote and Apple works in a very similar way, and a lot of the stuff that we do also works in Google Slides. It's not specific to PowerPoint, but one of the things that's neat about both PowerPoint and Keynote is that you can record your screen from inside PowerPoint. So you can record a presentation. So you can actually create a readable video right inside PowerPoint. I personally like to use screencasting software where I record my screen and that way I can edit it and improve it. But one of the things that I think is kind of magical about the readable videos is if you set up every slide and get your animations just right, it's zero editing. Like you hit record, go through the slides, it spits out a video and that video is done. Like there is no post-production. There obviously can be, but that's part of the thing is I think of readable videos as being a utility. Like these videos are not going to win design awards. You're not going to explain quantum physics. You know, it's not great for interviews. It's like a utility where I've got a problem. People are confused by this form. So I'm going to use a picture of this form with arrows and talk bubbles and walk people through each section of the form. And I think there's a place for those kinds of videos that doesn't have to involve voiceovers. It can be an on-screen experience that's like an intake form, or maybe you're a teacher and you're showing a timeline or a flow chart, or, you know, there's lots of things there that really simplify and make these videos very very kind of like minimalist in their presentation. And one of the things that I think is really neat too is when those video files that have, you know, just very simple graphics are very small in file size. And that means you can also make them very easily into animated GIFs that play automatically, that you can send an email or whatever it is. And I do that with a product on Apple called GIF Brewery that makes that simple. So yeah, I just think that it's a very lightweight way to make videos.
So just to be clear for everybody in the chat, we're not talking about very, very, like as in a readable video, we're not talking about like utilizing like automated transcription services that put the text on the screen while you're talking or anything like that. What you're talking about is designing your visual graphics with the text on the screen as visual elements, just like the arrows and the process and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. Okay. That's right. So one of the inspiration, there's a few inspirations that I've had for this. One is just subtitles. Like my wife and I watch a lot of British TV, and sometimes you just can't understand it very well. Like a show like Peaky Blinders is one. It's like a, you know, Birmingham accent. And I've just come to read subtitles a lot on a lot of shows, even in American English. Also, if any of you have played the game Animal Crossing on Nintendo Switch, it's like every interaction you have with someone is words showing up on a screen because it might even be translated from Japanese or something, but basically you're reading the story of what to do next. A third example is karaoke, where when you're singing a song with words on the screen, the words roll out in the order you're supposed to sing them. And we're all kind of living in a world where this is a part of what we're doing, but it's not really applied to an intake form or a timeline or whatever. But I do think there's something there. And the thing that I've tried to develop with this idea is not just being able to do it, but do it in a polished way that's engaging. Because I think if you just throw a paragraph onto a slide, it's not really going to, I mean, people might read it, but it's not going to be that engaging. So I've worked with animations to do the kind of karaoke thing where you kind of are following the words across the screen, hopefully at the right speed, that kind of guides people through. So I think there's a lot of little tips and tricks for making the videos less boring in terms of just a block of text.
Yeah. One of the things that, when we start talking about text on screen and other, you know, visual elements, you know, humans, we have two eyes, but they both point in the same direction. So, you know, I'm assuming you're using things like just even timing to be able to give people the chance to absorb both the reading and you know, what else they're supposed to be looking at. How do you approach the idea, though, that people read at different speeds? Like, what's your sense of how long to leave the text on it? What's your kind of, is it just a by feel, or is it a, I mean, it's a video. People can pause it if they need to, you know, there's tools for that, but.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the things that I learned about in the process of developing this more is in graphic design, there's an idea called kinetic typography. And it basically means using animated words to relate a message or emotion or something more than just the text. And there's some guidelines out there from designers about, like, if you're going to show words, think about it like this. And one of their rules of thumb is to provide enough time for people to read it 1.5 times. So everybody reads different. I think you probably err on the side of more time. But that's my rule of thumb is kind of read it at a normal pace, let's say, or a kind of maybe slightly slower pace, but do it about 1.5 times. Mm. There's probably an opportunity to go too far where people are saying, like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
But there's always a balance there.
Yeah. Coming from a broadcast TV background, I believe there is an actual standard that they use when they're, I mean, well, and nowadays, I don't think any of this applies. I'm talking like 35 years ago, you know, when there weren't that many graphics on the screen. Now you watch the news or whatever, and there's just like 1,000 graphics and everything and things scrolling and whatnot. But back in the day when there was just one thing up on the screen at a time that they would kind of throw up there, there was a rule of thumb for our guy running the Chiron. Every time he pushed the button or the director said, yeah, put this one up, you know, they would count it out. I can't remember exactly how they did it, but there was a standard for how long they would leave that stuff up.
Yep. It's probably a similar thing to closed captioning, which has standards as well, because that's a similar thing of, you know, how long should it stay on the screen? It's hard, I imagine, when people are talking quickly in a movie to try to absorb all of that. But that's something I've thought about too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know you've got a mini course that we were going to share with folks that they can sign up for to kind of learn how to do this. But Jeffrey's asking if you have examples that we might be able to see. We didn't really plan to share anything, but I guess something, I guess we can.
Yeah. I actually, can we show a YouTube video here? How does that work?
Absolutely. You know what? If you send me the link, I can pop it in, or you can just share your screen one way or the other.
Sure.
Depends on if you want to share your whole YouTube screen.
Yeah, let me just... I can do this in just one second here. Looking back, I probably should have had this on point.
Yeah, that's all right. I thought we were just gonna be chatting about this stuff too. But everybody is very, very engaged and excited to see what we're talking about. So
yeah,
we got time. Let's make it happen.
Okay, so let's see.
Except for all of you listening on the podcast afterwards, you're going to have to go to the YouTube channel and...
let's see. So I can chat to you directly, or should I just put it in the...
Just put it in the regular chat so people have it. Yeah, that's fine. And then I'll just copy and paste it into my little window and...
So that's a little bit of an introduction for me as well. But it's answering the question, what is a readable video? And it'll go through it a little bit there.
And I may have actually, shared that link already.
Actually, I'm realizing that specific video is actually just me talking, I believe. So.
Oh, it doesn't like this one. It doesn't, it's not, let me see. It's not letting me pop it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes. All I had to do was erase a space.
Well, so, I have a lot of examples.
There it goes. I got it going. I finally got it in there.
I'm Lila Fever, co-founder of CommonCraft, here to introduce readable videos. Now, I've been making animated videos at Common Craft for over 15 years, and I know the process very well. And something I know is the recording of voiceover, editing that voiceover, and then matching it up to animated visuals is a complicated and challenging process. It sometimes requires expensive tools, a lot of know-how, and I wanted to find a way to make that process easier, to make it easy to make a video in a couple of hours or an afternoon.
Yeah, that's where I was saying, I realized that this is my intro.
And what it means is that they're videos that like what we're don't talking have about. A voiceover. In this free course, examples of...
Oops, yeah, you're just promoting your course.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm working on, let's see, I can share my screen and...
I've been working on a version
of the course that's like the more comprehensive course. So I'm really deep into it. And I think that's why I'm not.
No worries, man. No worries at all. Hang tight, folks. This is a relatively new concept, and we are actually very lucky to have Leon talking about it before it's even fully made.
I'm happy to share my screen and walk through an example from.
At the bottom of the screen down there, roll your mouse over. It says share something, and then it'll tell you which you'll ask you which screen you want to share. And
all right, let me get back here. Now that I turn off camera, share something. Okay, screen. Oh, here we go. All right. Are you guys seeing a PowerPoint slide?
Yep, there it is.
There it be.
Okay, so I'm going to make this full screen here. All right, you guys seeing this?
Yep.
Okay. So what we're going to do here is talk about sort of an intake form. So this is kind of working through. These are the elements we're going to have: heading, subheading, body, shapes, callouts. And so let's say we have like an intake form, and we're thinking, you know, we have multiple sections here. Over on the right side is kind of where we're going to talk about things. So I like to divide up the screen so it's consistent for the viewer. On one side is where the graphics are. On the other side is the consistent place where the text is. I think when text is moving around everywhere, it can be confusing. And so let's say in this example that we're gonna practice with a couple of different, you know, animation styles here. So moving in, floating in, and then we kind of from the top, and here we see one come from the top and then word shows up. And then you can see here how the I like to think that the text is more engaging because as soon as the text appears, it starts to animate. And I hope that gets people's attention a little bit more. You can see how that works. Yeah, is that working for you?
Yeah, yep. I see it. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the karaoke piece of the inspiration, yeah. I take it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And that's it. Just using an animation effect in PowerPoint. So next thing, you see how there's an entrance and exit effect there where something leaves and something else comes in. I'll show you that one more time. Boom. And then an arrow. And then say, please fill your full name as it appears on your government ID. I'm giving this a voiceover. I should probably just let you read it.
No, it's great. It's very much like your Common Craft videos, except your hand's not there sliding the paper cutout in.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So that's an example of an intake form. So it could also be. This is like Animal Crossing, if you guys know Animal Crossing. Oops. I didn't let that go all the way through.
The visual of the typography changing color there is also giving you a sense of time, you know, how much longer mm-hmm. you've got to read it in a sense too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. Instead of having like that little player bar thing running across the bottom or whatever.
Yeah.
Like a YouTube video. And just so people know, I know you're too humble of a guy to be talking about this, but all those hand drawings that you have created, you sell in a artwork pack on your website too for folks. If you don't want to draw your own, like we do Drink and Draw with Kevin Thorne, and he's trying to teach our community how to draw their own graphics like that. But heck, if you want to just go buy some great stick figure, hand drawn type stuff, Lee's website has a great library that you can download.
Oh, thank you, Brent. We do. They're called Common Craft Cutouts. And what we realized was that when we were making videos, we were creating lots of visuals for those videos and making them digitized and turning them into vectors so they're really nice looking. And we thought, well, this is, if we want to help people make videos, then maybe we can help them get over the visual hump a little bit and give them ready-made visuals that they can use in their projects. So that was kind of the genesis of that. Now there's over 3,200 of them in the library, I think. Okay, this is just a quick example of a timeline kind of thing. This is imagine maybe teaching art history or something like that. Some of this commentary is just me saying things. It's not really like, I'm not an art historian, but you can imagine a teacher maybe sending this to students and to kind of give them a lesson that happens in a video that's in a different format than them actually having to edit it. So those are just three quick examples there. So is that the kind of thing you're looking for?
Yeah, I think that gives folks a good sense of what you're doing with this project. Great. For sure. Yeah,
and I did, while you were chatting earlier, I popped a question into the chat and just asked folks if they were even aware of Common Craft or if they knew of the Common Craft videos. And there was a handful of folks that said they were brand new to it, brand new to you and your work. And so I put commoncraft.com in the video for people to go take a look at your other work and whatnot with the explainer videos.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, we've been around for a long time, and I think that our prime sort of attention was 2007 to 2012. That's when sort of the videos were very well known, and we've continued to make them, but I think that buzz and that awareness just doesn't last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm so thankful to be able to talk to you guys and to be on here and to be able to introduce what we do again.
It's the short-term memory syndrome of the modern internet and the modern connected world, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we, you know, part of our story is that we got started on YouTube, but once we needed to really figure out how to earn a living doing this, we were hired to make custom videos for companies, which was a good thing to do. But we actually chose to stop using YouTube because the only way you could really earn a living there is through advertising. And I think the advertising model is essential for a lot of things, and it works for a lot of people. But for the content we wanted to create, we really wanted to not have to consider the ad algorithm in order for us to make videos. I think it inevitably changes what content you make when you have to consider what's going to get the most views versus what's going to be most helpful. Mm-hmm. So we made our website the home of our videos and stopped using YouTube, and then offered viewing the videos with the watermark and then the option to download with membership.
Yeah. So much of the algorithm, algorithm is so much of the story with so many things. I mean, and you can just see, if you're in YouTube, you see the patterns of the people who are trying to use that to make a living or to make some money. And, the standard screen of the person going, but everything kind of looks the same. And then the same kind of language that gets used with all of the, with the title of it, trying to pose something as controversial rather than necessarily even helpful, and all of those kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. You won't believe, all of those things that are, small, manipulations, etc., which also then change the tone, the tenor of mm-hmm. the practicality of what you're, explaining too. So for sure. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
I loved the way you did that too, by going to your own website, and it gives you the ability to market it and make it available to educators. And, mm-hmm. If people did want to buy a bundle of topics, mm-hmm. you have so many topics out there now. And
I would love to know too. If anybody out there has any, ideas for videos, like we took a break for a little while, but we're looking to make more videos this year, and I really we depend a lot on the community, on people out there who are like, this really needs an explanation. So contact me. I'll share my contact information at the end of the chat. So please don't hesitate to be in touch.
Very cool.
Yeah, for sure. You had a great story when everything blew up in the early days with people showing up. I'm not sure. I can't remember if this was your story or somebody else's. When you guys finally got seen and some bunch of black sedans rolled up in front of the house and all the businessmen come out and
that doesn't sound familiar.
You were somebody else.
I would remember that, I think.
Yeah, that must have been a different story that I was thinking of, but somebody that came to the same quick popularity because of YouTube or whatever was immediately asked to do the same thing for a large government agency. And
they were
shocked when all of the stakeholders decided to show up for the meeting.
Oh, that's too funny. So no, that wasn't us. But again, we didn't really know what we were doing. We'd never run a creative agency. We'd never worked with customers on videos. But so we received an email that was kind of cryptic from just a Gmail address asking about custom videos. And this was like 2 months after that first video. And Sachi did some sleuthing and she's like, I'm going to find out who this person is. And it turns out the person had spoken at a conference. Her name was on a conference list somewhere, but it was Google. And we ended up making our second custom video was explaining Google Docs in 2007. So it was early version of Google Docs. You can find that on YouTube at, it's Google Docs in plain English is the video. It's been viewed millions of times now. But that was the closest I come to the black sedans is Google contacting us. And we were like super excited, but also super anxious. Like, what are we going to do with this? Like, how do we work with Google?
And in that case, you're seeing Gmail and thinking that it's a cloaking, you know, or an anonymity, when really that's just their work email, you know, right?
Funny. So there's a question in the chat that I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about.
Yeah, jump in.
If you guys don't mind. So Editrav says, how do you compare readable videos to screencasts? So that's a good question. Screencasts, I guess, seems like something that can be a lot of different things. I think of a screencast as recording something on a screen that you're doing, whether it's doing a walkthrough of software or whatever it is. I think the key difference here is that in a lot of screencasts, I imagine, the voiceover matters, like that you're narrating something as something's happening, and totally valid, totally works. I do that all the time. Readable videos do not have a voiceover. There is no audio unless you want there to be. And that could even be music. I think music is actually good because people are not used to seeing a video without sound. They think something's wrong. I need to click unmute or something. So I actually advocate for having something in the background that gives people the sense that they are watching a video. But the goal is to remove the person's voice from the experience and allow them to view the video purely visually with words and symbols on the screen.
Yeah, I think in general, people have started to get really used to that. I mean, that we maybe touched on it a little bit, but, you know, things like, you know, Instagram stories and TikTok and Snapchat and all that kind of stuff, right? The trend to just put text on the screen because most people don't have their audio on when they're scrolling through all of that kind of stuff became really, you know, popular really fast.
Absolutely. That was actually one of the inspirations that I meant to bring up was like, that's me. If I'm looking at Instagram or whatever, I don't like it when my phone makes sound. You know, I like to keep it on mute most of the time. And if I see a video with subtitles, I'm like, okay, I'll work with this. So I think there's something here.
Yeah. I do too. And I think there's just a lot of psychology behind it too. And of course, several people have mentioned, and you know, you mentioned too, you're aware of the accessibility issues and there's folks that mentioned like the color changing on the text, isn't accessible, and makes total sense. And maybe it's a color issue too, maybe it's a contrast issue. There's a lot of different things, but in general, I think just so everybody's aware, I think it goes without saying that at least Chris and I and at Domino, we put accessibility like way at the top of a lot of the priorities around what we want you know, folks to be doing and to help people build more accessible learning content. And I know, Lee, you're aware of it and all of the stuff that you do. So I don't want people to think that you're going about this. This is just another tool that we can have in our toolbox. I don't want people to think that you haven't thought this through.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate that. We learned this lesson very early with Common Craft. Again, we came through making videos without any experience, and accessibility was something that quickly came up. And we started making videos with subtitles, with open captions, because we work with a lot of members of Common Craft, our government agencies and things that are required to have accessible media. Yeah. And I think it is really important. And honestly, I didn't immediately think of the visually impaired with readable videos. But as soon as we started talking about it, someone wrote and said, hey, you should be aware of this. And I thought, oh, gosh, I'm so glad that you mentioned that. I don't know that there's anything I can do in terms of the core idea of readable videos, because it is a visual thing. But I did want to make other people aware that it's an issue, and to also say that there are no rules, that if you're making a video that needs to be more accessible, you can always add a voiceover or media. But
yeah,
the core idea, unfortunately, is inherently inaccessible.
And in a lot of context of what you're doing, the text of what's on screen could also be included as a transcript, for instance, you know, that could be accessed that way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, audio descriptions, I think, are something that's possible, maybe.
Yeah. Yep, we did have one question in the actual question panel. I've seen this for the first time in our new version there. and you mentioned it, but maybe we can get a little bit more specific. How do you do the animated text, the color changing in PowerPoint? It's just a setting, right? Or an animation?
It is. It's called the brush effect. So if you go into the animation tools in PowerPoint, I should say too, I'm using PowerPoint for Mac, the most updated version. So in case that matters, but I think this is pretty standard. If you go to animation, if you highlight a text box, go to animation and go to effects, there's something called the brush effect. And that's what does that kind of moving,
probably allows you to set the color that text. You want and all that. Kind
it
of
does. Right it does. And I, this is helping me too, because I'm thinking like that. Red, I just happened to choose it. I wasn't actually thinking about the accessibility of that specifically, but maybe I will change that color in future versions. I'll just need to look into that, what will be the most accessible way to do that.
Yeah, and for those folks in the chat, you know, since we're talking so much about accessibility, last week's episode of Idiotic, we had a conversation about accessibility and the Trusted Tester program, a place where you can go take a course for free and actually get certified on being a trusted tester of accessibility. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So you can check that out to learn more about it. And then in a couple more weeks, we're going to be having another one of our guests from a past episode also talk about accessibility. So it's a big topic. It's important. It's a very broad topic too. And it requires a lot of thought. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I see Dr. Rose mentioned that underline might be more accessible. That's a really great point. I'm so glad you brought that up. And then Bob says, what do you suggest for size for font? That's a really good question. I don't really have any rules or guidelines developed for that. I think that readability is obviously the thing. Like it has to be readable. So there are some of those kinetic typography guidelines in the course that I'm working on that just, you know, gives you font selections that are not often stylized or even have serifs. They're just very plain, you know, clear fonts are a big deal. And then depending on what else is happening on the page and how people are going to be using the video, I like to look at readable videos on a phone to see, like, can you read this on the phone? And if not, then maybe the font needs to be a little bigger.
Yeah, need to adjust. Yeah, I think standard design practices would apply in cases like this as well. But boy, we've reached that time in our fantastic little show here on Wednesday mornings.
Thanks to this too.
As the music slowly starts to roll in, we'll start to tell everybody about...
Lee, thanks so much for joining us this week. Toss your contact info into the chat.
Yeah, I'm throwing this in here now. Forgive me if there's any typos. I'm just reviewing it now after I've put it. Awesome.
Very cool.
This has been really fun, guys. I really appreciate connecting, and the chat has been great. And I've learned from you guys, and that's really awesome.
Yeah, we have such great folks that join us for each of our sessions. Great conversation in the chat. So thanks to everybody who's joined us there this week. Folks, Domino One, authoring tool of choice for those of us who hang out at Idiotic. Well, we like to think so anyway. Sponsors of our session here today. So if that's of interest, I've dropped a link into the chat there for you to check that out. We do this every week at Wednesdays. We've got a couple great sessions coming up. So don't forget to sign up for those before you leave the Crowdcast session here today. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Lee.
Thank you.
Just go ahead and dance on out of here. Folks, thanks for hanging out with us, as always.
Have a good day.